You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 29. I just want to minister along those lines, how that God has plans for you, loves you,
Amen.
For you, not against you. You know, we often think of God as the moral governor of the universe, and yes, that's true, God is holy, no question. And I think what's wrong with a lot of us in our country and the world is a matter of morality. There's a lot of sin in the world and sin in our lives that we need to get rid of. But make no mistake about it, God doesn't hate you. He wants to help you. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, we spend a lot of time trying to clean people up, and we really ought to catch them first. God will clean them up later. Amen? Wouldn't it be ridiculous if you're out in a boat and you jumped out of the water with your fillet knife? Come on now. Dived in there, grabbed you a fish, filleted it off, took those fillets and put them on a hook, jumped back in the boat, and reeled them in.
Yeah.
Now, who in a right mind does that?
Dick, yeah.
But Dick's a professional. We don't want to talk about professional fishermen here. We're talking about normal, case in point. Even our lives. You know, God's cleaning us up little, little as we go along in life. I mean, He doesn't. I hope you haven't arrived at perfection in your own life. I'm complete in Him, yes, but I am working on things every day. And thank God that He's patient with me. Thank God He loves me. And hallelujah. Thank God He is cleaning me up. Proverbs. What did I tell you? Jeremiah?
Jeremiah
was a bullfrog. That's an old Three Dog Night song, incidentally. Thank God I got delivered from that.
Amen.
I actually went to a Three Dog Night concert, you know, B.C., before Christ, way back. Jeremiah 29, let's quit, I'm going to get in trouble. So, notice the 11th verse, awesome verse. Now listen to this is God's Word. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Glory to God.
My goodness, God's got great plans for us. Actually, God has better plans for us than we have for ourselves. He thinks better of us than we think of ourselves. He loves us more than we love ourselves. God actually is on our side. He is not our enemy. He never has been. He's not our problem. He is our answer.
Amen.
And He is waiting for us to call, waiting for us to come, because He's got plans, He's got dreams, He's got hopes, He's got desires for you that are far beyond you could ever dream or imagine. You know, if you'd have known me before I got saved, You wouldn't come here, I can tell you that, if you thought, if God said, there He is, that's your pastor. I don't think so. I don't think you'd looked at that and says, well, you know what, I think I'll try the other church down the road. But you know, God had better plans for me. He had better dream, had a bigger dream for me. He saw something in me. He saw something in me that He made. See, He created me. He made me. And He saw potential in me that all I needed to do was get to Him. If I could just get to Jesus, if I could just get my sins washed away, if I could just get a hope and a spring in my life and step, I can make it, hallelujah. God can use me. You know, God can use anybody. Use all of us. You know, I'm reminded of the Old Testament in Genesis where Adam and Eve, after they sinned, you know, God came looking for them in the afternoon, the cool of the evening. In fact, I believe this point was made in Joel Osteen's second book that he did. Forgot the name of that book. But anyway, he learned everything from his daddy. So, John Osteen, my father, my pastor, father in faith. But he mentioned in that book, I believe it was the first chapter, when God finally did find Adam and Eve, they were hiding. And he says, where are you? And he says, Adam says, we were naked. We hid ourselves. And he said, who told you you were naked? And he just played off that. Who told you that? Well, I didn't come to God because I wasn't worthy. I didn't come to God because I had this sin. You know what? If you have sin, you need to come to God.
Amen.
If you messed up, you need to run to God.
Right.
Who told you couldn't come to God? Who told you that you couldn't be forgiven? Who told you that God was through with you? Who told you God gave up on you? That's a good question. God didn't tell you that. That's not in the Bible. But there is a devil that does tell us that.
Yeah.
And there is sometimes our own ignorance that tells us that. Who told us that? You need to ask that question. When something like that comes up, I'll tell you what God says. God said He loves you with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
The Bible says one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Whoever's me. Whoever's you. I mean, when I think of my life, because I'm an expert on my life, I know more about me than anybody. Except God, amen? And when I think of what I was and where I was going before I met Jesus, and what I am now, what He's done now, what He's going to do still, amen, I'm amazed at the grace of God.
Amen.
I stand in awe at His mercy. I stand in awe at His foresight. You know, He sees things you just don't see. And when I look at people, I see the same thing. I see the potential. I see, you know, all they need is Jesus. All they need is to get in God's will, get in God's Word.
Amen.
You and I are better people for having come to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And you and I have a hope and we have a future. Praise God, it's not over. No one's writing our death sentence. No one's going to say we can't do something else. No one's going to say I can't make a mark. We can make a mark for Jesus before we die. We got one shot at this deal. Heaven's high, hell is hot, and life is short. We can do something for the Lord before we die. We can love, we can reach out, we can help, we can forgive, we can make a mark. We can make a difference. Amen? Because of Jesus. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God speaking. Says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. You know, God just wants to do you good. I used to work on the market in Dallas, produce market. Wholesale produce. And at lunch, we'd all get together and, you know, eat Chinese food or something. We'd have it ordered in, you know, because we're all back in the office buying and selling and doing all these things. And we had this one guy that worked for us, and every time we'd get Chinese food, he would just, he'd eat like a bird. He'd just pick at everything, you know. He'd take that fork, and you'd see him just moving around. Willie was his name. His name's Willie. He'd move around. He'd move this around. That sure is good. And he'd repeat himself constantly. He says, "Oh yeah, there's nothing in here bad for you. It's all good. That's all good. That's all good stuff right there." That's what I think about when I think about the Bible. It's all good. There's nothing bad for you. Now we'll pick around at it, but we ought to go ahead and eat it whole hog. Hello, because it's all good for you. Plans of a future and a hope. One translation says an expected end. Everybody say expected end. That's good. God has an expected end for me. See, He's really seen my life. He sees what can be. I like that. We look at what is, God looks at what can be. We look at a situation, circumstances, as we see it right now, but God sees what we can be. Hallelujah, somebody. Woo! Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians, first chapter. I want to encourage you this morning. You can make it. You know, holidays can be wonderful things, and sometimes they can be depressing things, depending on your attitude. Sometimes we go into holidays with unreal expectations. You know, often talk about Christmas. You know, sometimes your white Christmas can turn blue. But I think a lot of that has to do with us having unreal expectations about family gatherings and so on and so forth. You know, we're family. We're not perfect. We get together with family that are not perfect. But we are what we are. Amen? And we ought to be thankful and grateful. But God can use any of us and all of us. I thank God we have family. Because really, family, in a lot of cases, family are people that you probably wouldn't hang around with if you picked them. Stay with me. They may not hang around you either. Okay? So just, you know. But that old saying, you know, you pick your friends, you stuck with your relatives. That's a good thing. Because what that forces you to see people in a different light. To hang around people maybe you wouldn't hang around with. You know, we live in such a designer-friendly society. You know, you can just hang around people of a certain persuasion. Or, you know, you can be a hunter, just hang around hunters. And you can be a bow hunter, just hang around bow hunters. You can be a recurve bow hunter, just hang around recurve bow hunters. Hello. I mean, it's just getting everything so designer friendly, you know, that we're not forced to really, you know, overcome some problems in our lives, some prejudices and some sins and anger and things. We don't work on it because we just don't hang around anybody that makes us mad. except maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know. Don't hang around anybody who has different political views than we have. Hello. But see, family just wipes all that out. Thank God for family. Y'all not getting real excited about this. What I'm telling you is that God loves everybody. Amen. And we all have potential in God. And God wants to use all of us. He has a plan, a hope, and a future, and expected end for every single one of us. There's not a person in here that hasn't got an eternal destiny in God. Wow. That Jesus didn't shed his blood for. You know, whatever their likes or dislikes are, or dress or not, no, you know, whatever dress. And I don't want to say dress or no dress. That wouldn't go real big. But anyway. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. You know about Philippians? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You know that acronym? Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians. Come on, y'all, wake up. The sooner you get into this, the sooner I'll let you out. So you're... How much torture can you stand? Philippians 1, verse 3. Let's start there. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that awesome? Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's thanking God for his remembrance. We ought to thank God for each other. Thank God for, you know, churches. Thank God for people that we know. There's so much value in people. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're so far above all of God's creation. You know, I know we in our overheads here, our PowerPoint presentations on the songs, we have scenes of mountains and rivers and beautiful places around the world. But there's nothing more beautiful than you. There's nothing more complex than you. There's nothing that God ever made that he put more love in than you. Amen. You know, there's a song, I think it's Family 4-5. It's a contemporary Christian song. It says, hold on, wait a minute, put a little love in it. So it's almost like God made everything, and when he got to you, he said, hold on, wait a minute, put a little love in it. Now, I'm not going to perform for you. That's the best I'm going to do. But God put his love in you, and you are not just a creation of God. You are birthed from God. You're born from God. You're made in his very image and his very likeness. He would come down the cool of the evening to talk with you and fellowship with you. And even now, that's his desire, is to talk with you and fellowship with you and speak with you. He wants you to pray and seek him and worship him. He wants to talk to you also, speak to you when you get up in the morning and during the day. God is good. And he is crazy about you. Crazy about you. It says here in the third verse, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship. That's two fellas in the same ship. Real simple. Hey, I got a gift. I just make things simple. Okay. You are going in the same direction. You are in the same boat. Fellowship. That's what fellowship is. Getting together. That's what we're doing here today. I know we've worshiped. We've had an offering. I'm ministering. But, you know, it's participatory. We're participating. We're involved in this. You're listening intently. Some of you are writing notes. And some of you are amening. Some of you are sleeping. Wake up. But we're in this thing together. We're fellowshipping. It's wonderful. There's nothing better than us. Amen. Besides God. There's nothing better than us. There's nothing in creation better than this right here. When families get together and churches get together and friends get together. I tell you, there's more value in you than all the world. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He puts more value on your soul than the whole world, all of creation. There's nothing more intricate, more complex, more unique, more exciting than a person, than you and me talking, fellowshipping, communicating, changing the world. We're going to live forever. Everything out here is going to die away. Everything's going to deteriorate. We're going to look at all of this as an old tale. And you and I will live on and on and on and on forever. Somewhere, heaven or hell. Hope it's heaven. Come go with me. I'm going there. Amen? Jesus wants you to go there. The Holy Spirit wants you to go there. God the Father is calling us to go to heaven. You know, as E.V. Hill, great preacher, said this, that he said, Grandmama told me, he says, the Holy Spirit invites you to heaven. Grandmama told me, he said, Jesus invites you to heaven. Grandma said, God invites us to heaven. And son, it's not right to go somewhere that you're not invited. He said, nobody invites you to hell. Jesus never asked you to go to hell. God never asked you. The Holy Spirit never asked you. Why go somewhere you're not invited? Somewhere you're not even welcome. I tell you, the Spirit of the Bride's calling us to heaven. Calling us to live forever. Why? Because He loves us. Because He sees value in us. He knows what we can be. You're not a nobody. You are somebody. You count. I don't care what level of intelligence, I don't care what level of gifts or social standing you have. As far as God's concerned, you're as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better than you. You're the apple of His eye. You're why He did what He did, why He made what He made. He made all this for you. Hallelujah. One of the greatest proofs of God, I think, is beauty. It is splendor and all. When I look at creation, I look at a landscape, or I see a sunset, or just a... you know, just anything God created, I'm amazed at it. I can look at a painting or a picture. How many of you have done that? You just kind of, something catches your eye. And I like trees. I like forests and trees. I don't know, I can just stand for hours looking at trees and forests. It just amazes me. I guess because there's a deer out there I can shoot or something. I don't know. No, it's more than that. But you know, none of God's creation is enthralled or just oohs and ahs at a rose. Cats don't do it. Cows don't do it. Dogs don't do it. Only us. I mean, beauty, we stand in awe because it's God's creation. The heavens testify of His glory. But He made beauty for us.
Hallelujah.
He made it for us. We're the only ones who really recognize it. To can stand and just watch a sunset. Get a cup of coffee and watch the sun go down. And the dog's got to be wondering, what in the world is he doing? Cows don't get it. Cats don't get it. Rats don't get it. Okay. I'm rhyming, and I like it. Okay. Starting to rhyme. He says here that he rejoices. He thanks God when he remembers you. When he remembers you, people at Philippi, you know, remembers people. People are so important. They really count. We discount people. We give them the cold shoulder. We don't take time to listen. We don't take time to pray. We don't take time to remember. And yet the most important things in your life are not things. They're people. They're not even events. They're people. Any event that's important, you had people involved in it. You were recognized or you were applauded or, you know, people talk about football, but it wasn't a stand out there and it wasn't a whole bunch of people, fans watching it or the football team patting you on the back. Your touchdown wouldn't have meant anything. It's always people. It always comes down to people. You know, maybe you got this job or you got elected this office or whatever. You know, I get tickled with Betty. Ron said this years ago when we went to Betty's first swearing in. Well, why do they call it swearing in? Because they make an oath, you know. And Ron said, well, now she's getting sworn in. After this, she'll get sworn at. Because that's what, you know, politicians, you get sworn in, then you get sworn at. But every event has people involved in it. Yes. You know what I love about pastoring? People. No doubt about it. You know my greatest problem with pastoring? People. No doubt about it. But the best part of it far outweighs the worst part of it.
Yeah.
The best memories far outweigh the bad memories.
Amen.
People do have that potential. We have that potential. See, we have the potential to do the greatest good, and we have the potential to do the greatest evil. Because we are so uniquely gifted. You know, a cow can't be real bad or real good. A cow's just a cow. You might have a cow that's a fence breaker. That's the one that winds up the sale barn every week. Everybody's on that cow. But there's really no real bad cows, real good cows. Now, a dog can be a little worse. You could have a bad dog or a good dog, but, you know, they're a little more intelligent than a cow. But when you get to people now, we're so gifted and we're so unique and so wonderfully made that we can be extremely good or we can be extremely bad because God put so much of Himself in us. See, the fall of Satan was so bad because he was so good. He was so unique. He was so great. He was so gifted. And when it comes down to us, that's the way we are. And God sees how good we can be. He sees what good we can do. But with that potential, we also have the potential to do bad. What if Hitler had been born again, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and been an evangelist? Would have made a big difference. Instead of the millions that died in his regime and because of his wickedness and his evilness, what if he'd gotten saved and turned around? What if Elvis had sung Nothing but Christian music.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You beautiful people. You beautiful people. Elvis did put a Christian album out or two, but I mean, what if he just did that? What if he just, you know, used that gift and that talent? What impact that would have made for the kingdom of God? What if you did that? What if you took your gifts, your talents? What if you put your passion and your effort into serving God? You realize what a mark you'd make for God? If we all did that, we'd change the world. Actually, little by little, we are changing the world. God is using us to do just that.
Amen.
I'm going to get to the scripture. Stay with me. He's remembered them. He's thanking God for them. Fourth verse, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. I love this. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God has you on his mind. You're wondering what's going to happen next year. You're wondering what's going to happen with your life, your family, your job, and so on and so forth. Did you know God has you on his mind? He's thinking about you more than you're thinking about you. There are times of the day you don't think about yourself. God thinks about you all the time. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to complete in you that good work that he's called you to. He sees something in you that you don't see. And you know what? He can complete it if you'll give it over to him. If you'll come to him. If you'll. Now, I tell you, I can testify. Jesus has changed my life. Completely changed my life. See, you didn't know me before I got saved. You didn't know where I came from. You don't know my family. You've heard me make references to it. God bless my parents. I'm not saying anything about them or my family as far as that's concerned. But I am a product, and every one of us are really a product of the grace of God. We are what we are by the grace of God.
Amen.
And he can take anybody and turn them around. I was probably the most likely to fail before I accepted Jesus. I was kicked out of high school. They put a peace bond on me where I couldn't drive on a parking lot. That's pretty bad. They don't just spell you. They call the police and put a peace bond on you. You can't drive on a parking lot. That wasn't because I was such a great guy. They didn't do that because I was witnessing to everybody. Are you with me? I wasn't holding Bible studies, and I was a threat to them in that sense. I was lost and undone without God, without hope. My daddy was a policeman, deputy sheriff. He put me in jail one night. Hello? Now think about it. That's God looked at that. Hey, that's the pastor of that church in Wills Point International Outreach Church. I'm gonna raise him up, make a pastor out of him. And everybody had to be saying, God, are you okay? Do you know who you're pointing at here? Do you see this guy? I can almost hear God saying, yeah, I see him. I see something you don't see. And see, that's the way God sees all of us. He sees something we don't see. And whether it's us looking at somebody else or us looking at ourselves. You think you can't make it? You can make it. You can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do whatever God calls you to do. You can go wherever God sends you to go. You can say whatever God says you can say. You can do it. Because God will help you. He'll make it happen. But you got to come to Him. See, that's what I had to do. I had to come to God. I remember when the foreman on job that was witnessing to me. I was working at Upjohn Chemical in Pasadena, Texas. And I was working as a spray painter's helper. I'd moved down to Houston for work. I'd plumbed for a while, then I did that for a while. Then I got into carpenter work, and I did carpenter work for years. But I was working on that job, and this foreman started witnessing to me, started telling me about Jesus. And me, lost, undone, drug, you know, on drugs and filthy mouth. And I would cuss him and make fun of him and watch him turn red and walk away. And, you know, he just kept coming back. He never really got on my case about it. He just kept coming back and kept telling me God loves me, you know, and kept witnessing to me. And, you know, I couldn't fight that. See, that changed my life. He didn't argue with me. Didn't tell me how sorry I was, no good I was, you know. I can handle that. I expected that. He didn't do that. He just was praying for me. And the thing that sealed it was when he came up to me one day, and he went to this little Pentecostal church off in Big Thicket area. Y'all ever heard of Big Thicket? He drove into Pasadena every day, an hour or more for work. Anyway, he said, "We got your name. I put your name in a prayer jar at the front of the church, and our church is praying for you that you'd get saved." I said, "You what?" He said, "I put your name in a prayer jar, and I'm praying that you, our church is praying." I said, "You take my name out of that jar." I started getting nervous. I started thinking maybe there is something to this. These people are praying for me. I'm doomed. That impacted me. I never will forget that. I thought, oh, my God. Oh, man, people are praying for me to get, what am I going to do? Going to have to get saved. I don't want to do that. Hello. And sure enough, you know, the love of God overwhelmed me. The love of God won me. The love of God wooed me. The only fight was going on with me. I was fighting. God wasn't fighting. Oh, he was on my trail. Okay? The hound of heaven was on my trail. And he was relentless, and he did not let go, and he kept hunting me, and he kept coming after me. And finally, what I did, you know, it's really simple. It's been said this way. When I accepted Jesus, I quit fighting. I just laid down my arms of rebellion and my weapons and took off my six shooters, you know. Kept my cowboy boots. But took off my weapons and laid my Winchester down and took out my bowie knife and threw it away, you know. Says, "Here I am, I give up, I quit." Because he was just after me and after me, see. Everywhere I turned, he was after me. Because he loves me. He loves you. He really is for you. See, and one day, when you get saved and you get right with God, it's when you give up. It's when you quit running. When you quit fighting. When you quit, you know, just all your dumb arguments. I had a lot of them. I was so smart. Hello. But I was never going to be fulfilled. I was never going to be complete. I was never going to be all I could be. I would never be everything that God planned for me until I gave my life to him. I never would have been. I'd have been a wreck. Are you kidding? My marriage would have been a wreck. My children. No telling where I'd be today. No telling whether Brent and I'd even be married today or whether my kids would be even serving God. I don't know. I just shudder to think at the turning point of my life if I had not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I look at my life now and I am so happy. I'm so grateful. And you know what it boils down to? It's because God loved me. God saw something in me nobody else saw. I would never dreamed or believed I'd be where I am today, preaching the gospel to you, telling you how much God loves you, telling you how good Jesus is. Are you kidding? Woo! But God saw something I didn't see. And he began to perfect in me. When I gave in to him, when I gave up, when I called on him, he began to complete me. And he is completing me, and he's completing you. And any of you could stand up and give this testimony. I mean, I'm telling you mine because I know it better than anybody. But any one of us could stand up and testify to the grace and the glory of God and the goodness of God. I'll tell you some of the greatest testimonies, people that never went through that junk I went through. People that have known the Lord all their life, that were raised in homes where they took them to church and they loved Jesus and they never got into drugs, and never got into jails, and never got into immorality. Are you with me? That's the greatest testimony. We often put people on a pedestal that have been delivered from that, but I'll tell you what, the greatest is not even have to go through that. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, this helping you? I hope so, because I'm spilling my guts up here, so stay with me. Well, he completes us. Jesus completes us. You know, nobody in hell is complete. Hell is filled with unfinished, incomplete people. People that never reached their potential, never fulfilled their destiny, never became what they could be. They're actually incomplete. Heaven's full of people that have been fulfilled. People that have found their destiny. People that have been complete. In fact, we are complete in Christ. Turn to Colossians. That's the next book over. Colossians, the second chapter. Notice what it says here. Talking about Jesus, the ninth verse. For in Him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Tenth verse. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, we ought to be completing each other in the sense of praying for each other and lifting each other, seeing potential in each other, knowing what God can do with us if we'll just come, if they'll come to them. We see people that are lost, and sometimes we, you know, look down on them or whatever the case may be. Pride's a terrible thing. Pride is a fall. You can never see God when you have pride, because you can never see anybody above you when you're always looking down on everybody. Amen? But it says here, you're complete in Him. And notice the fourth chapter. We're just rolling here. I've got scriptures coming. Stay with me. Notice the fourth chapter. I think this is so unique. How do we help each other reach that? But how do we help each other find our destiny? God has a destiny plan for us. Sure He does. We need to go to Him to find out what it is. But, you know, we can pray for others and help them find out what it is. In the 12th verse of the 4th chapter, says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Well, there's a new concept. Instead of looking down on people, when we pray for people, what do we pray? Pray that they'll be completed and perfected in the will of God. Instead of looking at their sin and what they're doing wrong, why don't we lift them up and pray for them? How many times do you watch TV and some irate, ungodly, anti-Christian, anti-American Looney Tunes gets on there, and then you get mad, blood pressure goes up? How many times do you get on your knees and pray for them? Good question. I know I don't near as much as I ought to. How many times you see an actor or an actress, because, you know, they're sometimes way out there, not all of them, make some statement politically or some statement about Christianity, something to slam Christianity, and you just get mad? How many times you get on your knees and pray for them? Good question, isn't it? But that's the question we ought to be asking ourselves. How many times you see people that just turn you off, but you don't pray for them? I'm glad somebody didn't. I'm glad. I am so glad somebody didn't do me that way. I am so glad somebody had enough of Jesus in them to keep praying for me. I gave them every opportunity to quit and give up and stop. I sharpened their saw. I honed edges. I gave him every opportunity. I'll tell you, that guy witnessed to me. His name was J.D. Love. I don't know where he is now. That was over 30 years ago. He was a foreman on that job. I worked there 6 months and left, and I hadn't seen him since. But you know what? I helped him. Let me tell you something. I helped him. He got to do all kinds of praying. He got to do all kinds of forgiving. He didn't quit. He became a stronger man because of me. He became a stronger Christian. 6 months of that. I'm telling you, it was tough. But he never gave up. He could have fired me. He didn't fire me. People get fired for a whole lot less. But he just kept it up, kept it up, kept it up. And thank God, the love of God won. It overwhelmed me. I couldn't fight it. And see, that's the message. God loves you. He is really, really for you. Turn to Psalms 138. We'll close this out. I'm being as transparent as I can. I hope y'all don't see completely through me here, but Psalms 138. I'm here to tell you this is real, 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 real. This is not just a doctrine. It's just not a teaching. You know, it's really about finding Jesus. It's about finding yourself. It's about being fulfilled and being completed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad I found Him. You know, we're not just teaching doctrine. It's more than doctrine here. We're preaching Jesus. We're preaching changed lives. In fact, we're empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. Amen. And what I'm telling you is not something I just got out of concordance. I can tell you my life story. Any one of you can stand up and give us a life story about how Jesus has really changed your life and made a difference in your life. He's made a difference in me. He is the difference in me. I am not the person I used to be. Psalms 138, this is good stuff. And all this concerns you, amen? The eighth verse, Psalms 138, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hand. Well, the psalmist is saying that really the only God can perfect that which concerns us. Did you know you can't perfect what concerns you? Only God can perfect what concerns you. Concerning you, you need Jesus to perfect you. Concerning you, you are only complete in Him. Concerning your future, God's the one that has your future in His hands. He's the one that has an expected end for you. You need to get to Him. Amen? Because you just can't do it without Him. But with Him, you can do all things. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be saved. I am so glad to be born again. I'm so glad my wife is saved. Oh, she's so much better. Actually, she was saved before I was. In fact, her life of crime and demise was my fault. She actually had a pen 9 years of perfect attendance at Sunday school until she married me. And it was her witness, I guess, her stability in my life. And, of course, this man witnessed to me. But, you know, Brenda has always been constant. Even in those days when I was wild, she wasn't that wild. She didn't like my friends. I never could figure that out. She didn't like the people I hung around with. But she was patient with me. She started going to church before I got saved again, you know, after those years. She got Chris in church, and she got in church. And she was the same. I was in a new world every day. I just woke up in a new world every day. But Brenda was a constant in my life. She really was. And she witnessed to me some. But it was hard to witness to me. Not that that was an excuse to quit, but she would start and then I would get on her case. I remember she would tell me about Jesus. She said, well, honey, you know, you need to turn your life over to God. And I'd say, well, no, baby love. I said, you believe that and that's just fine. And that's just great. That's good for you, but I don't believe that. I'd tell her that. And if that helps you, great. Just leave me alone. That's what I tell her. And so she'd just pray. And it made all the difference. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Glory.
Thank God for a good wife. Amen?
Amen.
Put up with me, love me. Anybody would have left me a long time before that. Anybody would have put up with that stuff and the way I was living. And thank God. Thank God for the love of Christ. That makes all the difference. Now, I was faithful to Brenda. I mean, I was steady. I worked, but I was just on drugs all the time. I just, you know, weekends I'd party. I'd just stay messed up during the week, and then I'd have a party on the weekend. Really, I'm serious. I'd just be messed up all the time, every day, every day. See, you can't imagine that. Many of you can't see that, but the difference is Jesus. Hallelujah, I got delivered. Hallelujah, I got set free. Now, you know, the best buzz there ever was, I get my high from the Most High. I'm high on Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Read it one more time. Psalm 138, verse 8. We'll close this out. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Only Jesus can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Only He can complete you. You'll never find your destiny. You'll never find out how good you can be, what good you can do. You'll never be the help to humanity, the blessing to this earth that you can be until you get to Jesus. You'll never see even what you can be. You think you're no good, but you're not any good. You are somebody.
Amen.
You can't. You think you can't do any good. That's a lie. You can make a difference.
Yep.
Every one of us count. Every one of us can make a difference. There are no nobodies in Christ. We just got to throw ourselves in. Amen. He will perfect that which concerns us. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Aren't you glad He's merciful? He was merciful to me, and He'll be merciful to you. Hallelujah.